Good morning again. Y'all are almost awake this morning. That's good. Glad to hear that. Good to see you this morning. And as most of you know, or many of you know, we've been going through the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night. And I'd like to go ahead and do a chapter in Proverbs this morning. If you turn there, chapter 31 of Proverbs, a very familiar passage to us all. It deals with the virtuous woman, the excellent wife, in Proverbs 31. And I was hoping to get through the whole passage this morning, verses 10 through 31, but as I got to studying and I found out, as usual, that I couldn't do that. So what I'd like to do is break it up into two parts. We'll do verses 10 through 20 this morning, and this coming Wednesday night, we'll do verses 21 through 31 this coming Wednesday night. And so I urge you to come along at our prayer meeting, and we meet to hear the Word and to pray together on Wednesday night, so I urge you to come. And I would like to say something about the women here at Northgate Chapel. I think many times we take them for granted. And I know some of the ladies saying, yeah, that's right, you sure do. I know what you're thinking out there. But, you know, I was in preparation for this message, I was thinking about this, had some thoughts about that. And, you know, the functioning of a local church, an assembly, is very important. Everybody has got to do his and her part. Women in the local church, in the local assembly, especially here at Northgate Chapel, are extremely important to the functioning of this assembly, this local church. Without the women of Northgate Chapel being active and serving the Lord here, we wouldn't be able to function as a local church, as an assembly. We just couldn't do it. So what you do, ladies, is very important here at Northgate Chapel. And many times we don't see behind the scenes what's going on. Some of the women here work behind the scenes. They serve the Lord behind the scenes, and we don't see them publicly. Rest assured, ladies, that the Lord sees you. He sees you. And I know that the women here at Northgate Chapel, many of them are very serious and very earnest about doing their service for the Lord. They don't want a pat on the back. They don't want recognition. But, you know, in preparation for this message, I had to say this because it's so important. The ministry of women in a local church is extremely important. And, you know, I'm the director of the Awana Clubs here at Northgate Chapel. And if you took all the women leaders out of Awana, we wouldn't have a club. Because they are extremely important. And most of the women who serve in Awana are the younger women. They've got energy and enthusiasm, and they got ideas of how we can make our club better. So we need, ladies, we need your work, your service here at Northgate Chapel. It's important. It really is. And you may say, well, you know, what I do here at Northgate Chapel really doesn't count. I mean, you know, that's not true. That's not true. And in Proverbs 31, this morning, what we're going to do is look at those first 10 verses, or 10 or 11 verses, verses 10 through 20. And we're going to take a look at this woman, the virtuous woman here. And we're going to read some of these verses, and it may seem strange as you're reading about this woman and about the activities that she does and the things that she performs for her family. And we may say, I tell you what, that stuff sure is outdated. We just, you know, women today are, you know, they're you know, the technology of today and the time this passage was written, there's a world of difference, you see. But you see, this passage in Proverbs chapter 31 is not about activities of women. It's about their character. That's what's most important to Christian women, is their character. And so we'll start reading. I'm going to read the whole passage, verses 10 through 31, so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. Verse 10, Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet light, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Well, you know, in the world today, the non-Christian world has a different view of women than believers do. You know, if we look at the scriptures and compare what they say about women in the Old and the New Testaments, and we look at the world's view of women, we come away with two totally and completely different views. In the world today, there's much attention paid on the externals of women. You know, got to look good. You got to wear stylish clothes. You've got to have a cool hairstyle. A lot of time is spent on those. And you know, there's nothing wrong with wearing stylish clothes, looking good. That's not the problem. The problem is the emphasis. And there's more emphasis on the outside appearance and not enough emphasis on a woman's character. In the world today, there's very little. If you notice in the media, if you watch TV or listen to the radio or read the newspapers and the magazines, you'll find out that a woman's character is very rarely mentioned, if at all. But you remember that verse in 1 Samuel. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. That's what God is concerned about, ladies. He is concerned about your heart more than your outward appearance. You may think just the opposite. You may think my outward appearance is more important than my heart, but that's not how God looks at it. And in Proverbs 31, we see not only the activities of the virtuous woman, but we see her heart, her character that God wants in a godly woman. And we're going to see as we go along in these activities, like I said before, some of these things that we read this morning sounds kind of strange, because the women of today don't do these activities exactly as brought forth in the scriptures right here. But nevertheless, the work for women is still there. The activities that women do that are important to a family, to a household, to a local church, are still contained in the scriptures. First of all, in verse 10, there's a rhetorical question is asked. Who can find a virtuous woman? Well, I think the question invites something of a thought like it's a rarity to find a woman of noble character. Finding a woman who fits the characteristics of this virtuous woman is difficult. And some of you are saying, I'm thinking, now wait a minute now. We have some women at Northgate Chapel who fit this description, who are known as women of noble character and honor, and you know I realize that. I realize that in our local New Testament assemblies, scattered all over this country and in the world today, there are many, many godly Christian women. But if we look at the church in general, if we look at the Church of Jesus Christ, the perhaps hundreds of millions of Christians scattered all over the world, we may well ask this question, who can find a virtuous woman? We can find a number of virtuous women here at Northgate Chapel, but what about in the church and in general? We would have to ask that question. You know, it's a rare thing to find a godly Christian woman many times in a local church. And that word virtuous, literally translated, means a woman of valor. A woman of noble character. An excellent wife. Some translations render that an excellent wife. I like to call it a woman of excellence. And when we're talking about women of excellence, we're not talking about the Hollywood movie star, supermodel type women out there. That's not whom we're talking about. That's not whom this passage is being addressed. This passage is being addressed to women who know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as their Savior. This passage is for you and you alone. A woman of excellence, a virtuous woman. Well, what is this woman like? And in verse 10, we see that her price is far above rubies, it says in verse 10. She is more valuable than precious stones. A woman of excellence, a virtuous woman, is literally worth her weight in gold, ladies. You can't put a price tag on an excellent wife. You just can't do it. And we see in verse 10, the beginning of the passage here, that we see that the character of the woman, the excellent wife, the virtuous woman, her character is the most important feature in this passage. What she does is important. We're going to take a look at those activities. What she does for her family and her household is important. But it's the ladies, it's your character before God that counts the most. I hope you realize that. I hope you take that seriously. And we're not going to let the men off. I mean, you know, that same thing applies to us. And by the way, you men, you may think, well, you know, Earl is talking to the women this morning. I'm going to kick back, take a little snooze here. But you better pay attention. Because at the end of the message, I got something for the men, especially for the men. So you got to wait. But please pay attention. But we also see in verse 11 an interesting thing about her husband. It says in verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You notice it doesn't say her husband trusts in her. It says the heart of her husband trusts in her. Now, what is the heart? Well, that's the will, the intellect, the emotions, how we make our decisions, what we think, how we think. All this is combined into the speaking of the heart. But the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. The husband in this particular passage, her husband has total and complete confidence in his wife. He believes in her. He relies on her. He is secure and can rest in the knowledge that his wife is totally reliable and trustworthy. And I know we have some women here who are widows. Your husbands have died and gone home to be with the Lord, whatever. And yet you may be thinking, well, you know, this passage really doesn't apply to me. Ladies, that's not true. It does. Your character and your heart before God, whether you're widowed, single, or married, it counts before God. This message is for all the women of all the ages, regardless of your status. Married, widowed, divorced, single, whatever it is, this is for you. And it says in verse 12, he continues on in verse 12, talking about the virtuous wife and her husband. It says in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, it says, the first part of that verse says, a virtuous woman is a crown for her husband. The Amplified Bible says that it renders that a virtuous wife is a crown of joy for her husband. Men, do you think of your wives as a crown of joy? You don't have to answer that question right now. But think about that. You know, ladies, when your husband looks at you, when he considers you and thinks about you, are you a crown of joy to him? Do you think? The last part, the second part of Proverbs 12:4 says this, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. You got the good part of Proverbs 12:4 and you got the bad part. A woman can be a hindrance to her husband, or she can be a help to her husband. Her character can bring shame and disrepute to her husband. Did you realize that, lady? That your actions, your conduct, your behavior can bring shame or disrepute to her husband. Now, let me make something clear here now. I'm not saying that that's what you're doing, okay? I'm just saying what the Scriptures teach. And I'm sure that the women here at Northgate Chapel are not shaming their husbands. At least I hope not. But you see, that's part of your character as a Christian woman, as a virtuous woman, as a godly Christian woman. You can be a help to your husband, or you could be a hindrance to him. One of the two. And we see also in verse 12, it says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, I can tell you as a man, and I'm sure that most of the men can, the married men here can tell you that there's nothing more wonderful than the comfort and encouragement of an excellent wife. There isn't. You just can't beat that. There's nothing more wonderful than the encouragement and the comfort of a godly Christian wife. You know, you can't pay money for that, folks. You really can't. So we see, as we continue on in these verses, we see that the character of the virtuous woman, the woman of excellence, is very important. It comes to the forefront here in this passage. Now, in verses 13 through 20, we look at some of the activities that the virtuous woman, the excellent wife, performs for her family, for the most part. In verse 13, it says, she seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. I don't know if you ladies go out and try to find wool and flax. Now, I'm not talking about going to Macy's and buying a blouse for yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you make all your clothes by hand? Do you go out in the fields and try to gather flax? And, of course, flax is very nutritious grain, in case you didn't know it. But here, we're talking in verse 13 more about the excellent wife is not afraid of hard work. She worketh willingly with her hands. She wants to be active. She wants to be busy for her family. And you may say, well, you know, my family is there. You know, I have adult children. They got children of their own, and they're off doing, living their lives and all that kind of stuff. There's not a whole lot I can do for them. Well, you know, that's not true, ladies. There are many things you can do for your family, whether your children are adult or whether they're still small or whether they're teenagers or whatever. You can still do something for them. And you know, domestic activities many times is frowned upon by our society today. They say, well, you know, women don't be able to do something besides mess around at home, you know. I mean, we've got women in politics, we've got women in the media, we've got women in the educational system, we've got women in business, and look how prominent they are, look how powerful they are, look how influential they are. And I would say, you know, that's nothing compared to what a woman can do for her family, a wife can do for her family. A family needs a household manager. A family needs someone who can keep things going in the families to make sure the activities are running smoothly like they should be. And that's the function of a virtuous wife, woman. I was getting ready to say virtual wife, but that's not wrong word. But you know, in verse 13, we see that the woman of excellence, the excellent wife, is not afraid to work hard. And it says, verse 14, she is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. Now, bringeth her food from afar doesn't mean that you get in the van and drive to Burlington to the Harris Teeter to go grocery shopping. You know, that's we're not talking about that. Maybe some of you ladies do that, I don't know, but if I want to go grocery, I hate grocery shopping, but if I have to go, I like to go to a store that's close by, so I won't have to drive halfway across. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But it says, verse 14, she brings her food from afar. She is willing to make sure her family is provided for, that the family has enough food to eat. And you know, merchant ships, they go to far off lands to bring back foodstuffs for people. Nowadays, we don't rely on merchant ships. We rely more on trucks and planes to deliver our food to our grocery stores. But in the times of the Old Testament here, you know, a housewife, a woman who wants to provide food for her family, she may have to go miles to get that food for her family and bring it back. And this, the virtuous woman, the woman of excellence here, is willing to do that for her family because she cares for them and loves them. And we see in verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. We see here in verse 15 that the virtuous woman is unselfish and disciplined. In verse 15, she gets up in the morning before sunrise to prepare food for her household. If I was spending the night at somebody's house, we get up here at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we get ready, we go to work, and we get ready to feed our families and prepare for lunch and all that kind of stuff, all these activities. So we expect you to get up at 5 o'clock this morning. I'm going, Earl doesn't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning anymore. Earl used to do that, but he doesn't do it anymore. Well, it shows here that the virtuous woman, the woman of excellence, is unselfish. She's willing to feed her helpers, her maidens, so they can start work without preparing their own food, you see. And it takes discipline to get up before the sun rises, every single day, day after day, week after week, month after month. Can you imagine such a thing? But the virtuous woman, the wife of excellence, is willing to do that for her family because she loves them and cares for them. And you know, being unselfish is tough because we have to lay aside our needs and our desires, and we have to focus on the needs and desires of other people. And we're not naturally like that. We're naturally selfish. But here, the excellent wife is unselfish. She is willing to give of herself for the sake of her family, for the sake of her husband, the sake of her children, for the sake of her grandchildren. So we see in verse 15 that the virtuous woman is unselfish and disciplined. Verse 16, it says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Verse 16, we see that she is businesslike and frugal. Frugal means she watches the money. She pinches the pennies. She takes the coupons to the grocery store. She's concerned about, Earl, why are you buying that? That's 50 cents. You can get it 50 cents cheaper over here. And of course, I say, I don't care about that. You know, men don't care about stuff like that. We're going to buy, you know. Don't even look at the price sometimes. I'm making a true confession here. And I get it home and I'm saying, you know, I paid $2.50 for this, you know. And it's my own fault because I didn't look at the price. But, you know, in verse 16, we see that the virtuous woman is businesslike and frugal. She wants to buy a field and cultivate it as a vineyard. Well, there's a certain thing she has to do. First of all, she's got to find the field. She's got to consider how much to pay for it. She's got to calculate whether this is going to be a worthwhile enterprise or not. And then she's got to consider how much profits are going to be received from this. So it takes a businesslike attitude, a businesslike mind, and you have to be frugal in order to do something like this. And that would say, you know, sometimes women would go out and make transactions like this, and you know, they don't necessarily tell their husbands about it. She comes home, honey, I bought a field today. Her husband says, you did what? But you got to remember, ladies, men, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. He is willing to let her make those decisions. And of course, you know, her husband has got to trust his wife to make that kind of decision. And ladies, you've got to be trustworthy to make a decision like that, you see. So it cuts both ways. But we see in verse 16 that the virtuous woman is businesslike and frugal. In verse 17, it says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. The excellent wife has got to be fit and strong. She girdeth her loins with strength. That means she rolls up her sleeves and gets to work. And she maintains a lifestyle that is pretty physically demanding. And it demands discipline, and it demands that a woman be physically fit and strong. And, of course, I realize that women who have children are young. You know, you want to have your kids when you're young, because that's when you have your physical strength. As you get older, unfortunately, the physical strength that you have and we have, that I have, it diminishes quite a bit sometimes. But it takes a virtuous woman who is, or an excellent wife, who wants to be a help and a benefit to her husband and her family, is willing to be physically fit and strong. And sometimes that requires exercise. Sometimes it doesn't. It depends on the family situation and her situation. But, you know, being a household manager, you know, that takes a lot out of you, doesn't it, ladies? You know that. Some of you older ladies, you had children when you're young, and you know how demanding that could be physically and how it would affect you physically. But the virtuous woman is willing to do that. She's willing to roll up her sleeve and get to work. She's willing to be physically strong for the sake of her husband and her family, you see. And in verse 18 it says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. We see in verse 18 that the excellent wife is efficient and successful. She continues to work after sunset. Her candle goeth not out at night. She's still working in the family. And you've heard that expression, a woman's work is never done. And I used to laugh at that when I was younger. But I don't anymore. I know that's true. That's true in many occasions. And, you know, most people, when they come home from work, they want to wind down to relax a little bit and after a hard day's work, but not the virtuous woman, not the excellent wife. She's been successful in her ventures, in her enterprises, and she wants to continue working into the night. And she's not doing this. She's not a workaholic now. She's doing this for the sake of her household, for the sake of her family. And I think it's a reminder to us, ladies and men, that the one who gives us the strength to accomplish our daily tasks is the Lord. We have to depend upon Him to get through our days, don't we? Sometimes I forget that, and you know, I go out in my own strength and do this and do that. By the time I get home, I'm exhausted. But you know, if we depend upon the Lord, He will give us the strength. I remember when, you know, in my before I was retired, laid off from my job at work. It was sometimes it could be a physically demanding job. The only way that I can get through the day is to ask the Lord for help, for strength. The virtuous woman, the woman of excellence, would depend upon the Lord every hour of every day. Because He is the one who will give you the strength physically, spiritually, and emotionally to get through that day. And you know, you come home from work. I know some of you younger women work. Older women may work too. And you come home and say, well, you know, I've had a bad day. That's pretty common. But it takes, you know, our dependence upon our Savior, our Lord, to help get us through those days. If we didn't depend upon the Lord, folks, we'd just wear ourselves out and burn out in no time. But the excellent wife, the virtuous woman, is willing to place her faith and trust in the Lord to get her through that day. Verse 19, it says, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. We see in verse 19 here that the virtuous woman is skillful and diligent. She's skillful and diligent. She makes clothes for her family by hand. And this was skilled work. It was very time consuming. It was very painstaking. You know, they didn't have the technology that we have today. We have machines to make clothes today. Back in the Old Testament times here, you had to do all that by yourself. Nowadays, you know, like I said before, you can go out to Macy's or go to Walmart or Sears and buy whatever clothes you want to. You don't have to worry about anything. But here in verse 19, we see that the virtuous woman, the woman of excellence, is willing. She is willing, for the sake of her household and her family, to make those clothes by hand. The spindle and the distaff are the parts of that weaving. I guess it's a weaving machine. And they weave the threads together. They form the fabric. I'm being very general here because I don't know how that, mechanically, I don't know how that works. But in this particular case, it takes a lot of skill. You've got to be diligent. It's time-consuming, detail-type work. But the virtuous woman is willing to do that. She is willing to work like that for the sake of her household, her family. And finally, in verse 20, it says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is willing to share of her resources to help the less fortunate. She is generous and charitable. She is thinking outside her immediate family. And she is willing to help the less fortunate, the poor. She has compassion on them. She is willing to give to them. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of needs out there. You don't have to be poor to have material, physical needs. In this particular case, in verse 20, we're talking about people who don't have enough of daily necessities. But the virtuous woman, the wife of excellence, is willing to reach out to these people to help them materially if they're having hard times. And you know, you can do that. You may hear of a neighbor or a member of your family who's having hard times financially, and you want to help them out, and you do something to do that, to meet that need. And it doesn't have to be necessarily that kind of need. It can be all sorts of things that people around us have need of, and you, as a Christian woman, as a godly woman of God, can reach out to these people who are less fortunate and help them out. Women have a natural heart of compassion. Men don't necessarily have that. But I believe God built that characteristic into women, that they are compassionate toward other people. And it's that compassion, ladies, that makes you so valuable. It makes you so valuable to your family and to us here at Northgate Chapel. Without your compassion, we would be out of balance in our local assembly. The family would be out of balance if we didn't have the compassion of women in that family. And we've been talking about some of the activities that the virtuous woman, the woman of excellence, does. And you may think, well, you know, I do my daily activities, and I go through this, and I do this, and I do that, and I get tired, you know, but I pray, and I read the scriptures, and all that kind of stuff, and that's good. But you know something, ladies, if you notice this passage, and you can see it as the passage goes gets toward the end, that even though the virtuous woman is going through all these activities, that her activities and what she does descends from her character. Do you realize that? What I'm saying is that the character of a woman is more important than anything else. Ladies, your character as a godly Christian woman is indispensable to your family. Your character as a godly Christian woman is indispensable to us here at Northgate Chapel. Now, we've been talking to the women, and I promised I was going to talk to the men tonight and this morning. And some of you may be wondering, well, you know, I'd like to encourage my wife into becoming a more godly woman, a virtuous woman, a woman of excellence. As a husband and a man in the family, what can I do? Men, there are three things that you can do. It's love, patience, and prayer. First of all, love. You know, you've got to show the love of Christ to your wife. Do you realize that? Your wife needs to be appreciated by you. Not just shown that she's appreciated, but you need to tell her that. That's difficult for us men to do that sometimes. Honey, I appreciate what you do for the family. You do such a wonderful job. My clothes are so clean. The bed is made up. There's no dust under the chairs. I'm being slightly facetious there. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, a wife needs to be appreciated by her husband. That's showing the love of Jesus Christ to her. And men, that's what you've got to do as a Christian husband in the family, is to show love to your wife. The second thing you got to do is be patient. If you want your wife to be something close to the virtuous woman here, you've got to be patient with her. You've got to be patient with her weaknesses, her faults, her shortcomings. Love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? And you've got to be, as a husband in the family, you've got to understand that if a woman is going to have developed godly Christian character, it doesn't take days or weeks. It takes years and decades for that to happen. Years and years and years. So on your part, it takes patience with your wife while she develops that character. But the most important characteristic most important thing you can do for your wife if you want her to be a godly, virtuous woman is prayer. pray, and pray some more. Now, I'm not just talking about pray. Well, you know, I pray for my wife about once a week or month or something like that. Well, you got to do more than that. You got to pray for your wife every single day, maybe two or three or four or five times a day, so that God will develop that godly Christian character into your wife. And brothers, I'm going to tell you something. He'll do that. He will answer that prayer. If you're willing to put forth the effort, if you're willing to help your wife, to encourage her, to love her, to be patient with her, God will build into her heart and her life and her mind godly Christian character. And you'll see a transformation. I'll bet she won't see it. I'll bet you she won't see it. But you will, men. You'll see it. You'll notice it. And there's some of you here this morning who are not married. We have younger Christian men and women here. And you younger Christian women, I have a question for you. You know, some of you want, I think most are not, or all of you want, would like to get married someday. You expect that. You want God to bring a husband into your life so you can have a family of your own. But let me ask you a question. What kind of husband, what kind of man do you want from God? Well, I want a godly man. Well, let me ask you another question. If you want a godly man, are you prepared to be a godly woman? Are you prepared to make the sacrifices necessary to build a godly Christian character into your heart like the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31? Are you willing to do that? Because that's the only way you're going to get a godly Christian husband, is to be a godly woman. And we have some young men here this morning who are not married, and they want to get married, I'm sure, at some point in time as they grow older and mature. And what kind of men, what kind of wife do you want to have for the rest of your life? Do you want a woman of the world? Or do you want a virtuous woman of Proverbs 31? I can tell you what I would like. It doesn't take much to reveal that to you. But you know, men, you've got to understand one thing. If you want a virtuous woman, a godly Christian woman for your wife, you have got to be a godly Christian man. That's what it takes from you. And so we have here in this passage, the first part of this passage, I think, is informative. I think we'll get more into detail Wednesday night into a virtuous woman's character a little bit more. So I urge you to come along for that. And our time is up, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, you've instructed us so well and so much over these years. Father, we just thank you for the instruction you've given to us. We pray, Lord, for the Christian women here, the widows, the married women, the single women. Lord, we pray for their hearts. We pray that you will build in that wonderful, godly Christian attitude and Christian heart in each woman here this morning. We pray for us as men that we would love and encourage the women in our lives, our wives, and that you will help build that Christian character into their hearts. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for this assembly, that the women here at Northgate Chapel, Lord, that you will continue to bring them into your service, that you will continue to work in their lives and their hearts, so they may glorify and honor the person of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in His name. Amen. Thank you very much for coming.